right, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley. Welcome to Taking Charge with Paula Robinson. How are you, Paula?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. Lots going on around the city, mostly traffic, right?
you got that right today.
You got caught on that 76 traffic, and but I'm glad to obviously see you made it in here. I'd be in a total panic if you weren't here. We do have a fantastic guest that would get me through it. I'd like to introduce our guest, Diane Sedano, Law Offices of Diane Sedano. How are you?
I am very well, Joe. Thank you.
It's great to have you. You hail from Quakertown, right?
For the last 30 years, but I grew up in Philadelphia.
Really? What part?
Northeast.
Just how far up?
Right by Nazareth Hospital, Home Circle, Father Judge.
Hold on, let me take a shot at that. I lived at Longshore in Battersby for 20 years. My son went to St. Matt's. He went to Roman Catholic, not Judge, but obviously we know that neighborhood. So, yes, welcome home.
That's what we're talking about.
And so, let's, obviously, if you would, and tell our listeners a little bit about your practice and about yourself.
Okay. I have been practicing for over 30 years now. The last 20 has been focusing on personal injury cases, motor vehicle, premises liability, dog bites, wrongful death. I just very recently, in the past 6 to 9 months, went out on my own, established my own firm after working for some other firms in the personal injury fields. So,
and what led you to... the personal injury field?
That I kind of fell into. Prior to doing personal injury, I worked for Cigna Group Insurance. Took a very short hiatus when my kids were very little. And when I returned to work, a local firm in the Upper Bucks County area was looking for somebody who knew insurance law, specifically because of personal injury.
Right. By the way, and that's typically how it happens. Having that experience, what the insurance company gives you, an insider's knowledge and experience that is incredibly beneficial to your clients.
Absolutely. It really gives me an inside view, understanding how they kind of work, how their mind
Yeah,
goes.
And so you can sit there and say, here's what's going on, do not panic, or you better panic because we got problems. it makes sense. Paula, if you would, just remind our listeners, as our host, if you would tell our, remind them of yourself and the firm, what you guys do.
Well, I founded Robinson Law in 2011, and I represent only injured workers. And there again, I had a background where I worked at Chubb Insurance after I graduated from law school, and then I worked for some defense firms doing workers' comp. So I've seen it on all the angles.
Right. And, a large portion, an overwhelming portion of our outstanding plaintiff attorneys have worked for the dark side, which is what we, as we all know. But you know, it's funny. I did a show yesterday, and we've done defense attorneys on the shows, and so one of our hosts invited a. It was a medical malpractice show. And it, they're all nervous when they come on. They think we're going to attack. Like, you're vulnerable. You're on the air. We're going to be bringing in ex-girlfriends. No, come on it now. We're respectful. And real respect. And it turned into really a fantastic conversation. Usually when one of the show hosts brings in a defense attorney, they have a good relationship. Not usually, 100% of the time. They either went to law school together or they have a real mutual respect. And this turned into a conversation about healthcare. And it was fascinating. But what was really interesting was that he was talking about the hospitals and what it takes to run them. And so, you learn a little bit more, and I'm sure both of your experiences, why the insurance companies just don't, turn over and belly up right away and say, you got burnt by the hot coffee, they got $6 million, we're going to give you $5 million. I know you got to get down the shore next week. Can we get it to you by Monday, right? We understand that because they have responsibilities. Having said that, the firm. Talk about, Diane, talk about the expectations, setting expectations, and what clients can expect when they retain you and your practice.
The reason I went out on my own is I have a firm belief that personal injury is truly personal. No injury affects the same person, the same two people, the same way. And I believe it's my obligation, my duty, and my real honor to get to know the client, to find out how this injury affected their life. Injury affects somebody very differently if they have small children versus, you know, they're an empty nester, or they have a desk job versus they have a very physically demanding job. I like taking my time with clients, learning how the injury affects them, guide them in terms of getting the right care. And some of the larger firms, they do an excellent job, but very often you don't get to see the client from the time they walk in the door into the time you hand them that last check.
Yeah.
And I miss that. So I really wanted to get back to that type of practice.
And you know, that the personalization is a big deal. I mean, what's really interesting about it, though, is, as you know, Paula, the client doesn't really know sometimes. I mean, they have, in many cases, they're only you know, legal situation in their entire life, and they depend on, you know, they're vulnerable, right? And in a lot of ways, setting the expectations from day one. Talk about that, because let's just say it's a car accident. We talked about the insurance company not just turning over, no matter how obvious it may seem. Setting those expectations based not on money, but on the ebbs and flows of the case.
Okay. As you said, a lot of people walk in saying they rear-ended me, it wasn't my fault, why aren't they just giving me the money?
Right.
And again, I like taking my time getting to know the client where they're at and taking the opportunity to set their expectations. But personal injury, you need to prove three legal elements and one practical element in the case. And one is that the other person did something wrong, that you have an injury. The thing that's a little vague is that your injury was caused by that accident, and then how much is that injury worth, which is kind of the practical matter. Insurance companies, sometimes they attack all three elements. Sometimes they'll focus on one. Gee, that person, you know, 6 years ago they complained to their doctor their neck was stiff when they got up, so this whiplash that they have with nothing in between is caused from that sleeping funny 6 years ago. And what I try to explain to clients is the burden of proof. Everyone's heard burden of proof if you've seen any legal shows. The burden of proof is on us, and we need to prove each of those elements. If you have, you know, a rear-end accident, you're sitting as a passenger, you have an immediate fracture, obviously you didn't get in the car with a fracture, you know, you pretty much have all three elements, and the insurance company is going to offer something. Then you get into the practical matter of how much is that injury worth.
And you're also talking about maximum, I guess, recoverability when somebody, you know, that's one of the reasons I'm assuming that they don't settle immediately, because you could be better in a month and a half or something like. How does that work?
Couple of things. A huge part of it, especially in motor vehicle accidents, is how much insurance the person who was at fault has. So if you're talking about, gee, you fracture your arm, you need surgery, they put in plates and screws, and that other person has the state minimal limits, which is only $15,000 in Pennsylvania, you're going to get $15,000. It doesn't matter if you had your arm cut off. It's, you're stuck.
Right. And we will get into that conversation, because, I mean, listen, I'm going to shut that down right now. I listen to Flo. She makes it clear that I have full coverage. We're good. I want the $100,000 by next week. All right. But, you know, that rate. So most attorneys jump across the table at that time and go, we're going to get into that, though, because it's a shocking comment. We may even do, I'm not even kidding you, I'm potentially doing a campaign on the myth of full coverage. You know, I mean, the Rogers rate and all the fellas. I mean, I watch, you like sports?
I don't watch them very often.
Well, I'm going to quiz you on the defense that the Eagles are going to run this year. Paula, tell her what the defense is. What I'm saying is, even if you don't watch, even if you're just sitting there, all the commercials, besides the gambling commercials, the in-game game, now, you know, are all legal commercials, and all they talk about is the rate. We're going to get into We're going to get into that discussion because it's, and we're going to, we may even do a major, like I said, a campaign on the myth of full coverage. Communications, you know, I'll go back to you, Paula. You know, obviously in your area of the law, workers' compensation, you know, communications is vital, especially when you're dealing with somebody who's hurt and all of a sudden no one's calling or no one's picking up.
Yes, I have that almost every week where I get, retain a new client and they can't get their employer to put the claim in with the workers' comp carrier, or they need immediate medical attention. They can't get a hold of the adjuster and they're just floundering. So they really need legal help to jump in to know what to do, what steps to take, and where and how to get them the proper medical care that they need.
And we know that the number one complaint from clients, no matter what area, is communications, right?
And
you know what I mean? In your area, Diane, and with your firm and your practice, priority?
Absolutely. It is me from beginning to end. I answer the phone. I answer the emails. You text me. You call me. You know, however you need to get a hold
and
of me.
And it's very efficient. Well, because I say that because here at the station, I could call that damn line right there 100 times. Can't get one of these. The house could be on fire, and you can't get through the damn. You heard me, TJ. but I don't blame you. I blame Brett Cronenberger right behind you. Having said that, that's a big deal. The communication and making somebody just at least confident that, you know, they can get. Now, setting those expectations from day one ensures that you're not getting calls every week going, are we close? Because, listen, this is one of the most difficult times in somebody's life.
One way I address that, and what I find very helpful, especially if, after 20 years, is if you're proactive with a client, you're blind copying them on letters going out, or you're letting them know,
yeah,
hey, I just, you know, I got the medical records in from your primary care doctor. I'm looking at them now. So they're not the one wondering what's going on. Like, okay, I haven't heard from you in a couple of days, but I know Diane's going to call me when there's something going on.
Right.
So I really do try to be proactive in terms of keeping clients up to date on each step.
I
do the exact same thing. I answer my own phone. People text me, send me faxes, and, you know, I get back to them right away. And just yesterday I had an example where I retained a client the week before, and they were forcing him to go back to his job. And so I stepped in and we got him an out of work note so he could go back out. And then on our automated system, WICUS, they filed a particular notification of suspension. He didn't even know it happened because it didn't get to him in the mail. He won't get it for another week, but it came through on my email. And so I was able to file a challenge petition. I met him yesterday. We got it signed. I got it filed. So now he'll keep his benefits.
So having said that, the law is one thing, okay? But having that bedside manner, and it's still a business, okay? Especially when you have a boutique firm, but it really doesn't matter, that communication factor and that ability to be able to take the call and not, you know, hear, you know what I mean? Like that, you know, is really important because you can be a crackerjack in the courtroom or on the law, but if you don't have that demeanor to retain the clients and to have and that relationship, you're never going to get a referral from somebody. And we've met plenty of people that are just stressed out, out of their mind. How important is that, and how do you handle the day-to-day, Diane first, the day-to-day kind of like, communicating with the clients when you're the one answering the phone?
Again, I've gone out into my own practice, so I have control over my own schedule. I don't have somebody from the top down yelling at me saying, hey, do these six other things, and I'm saying, no, this client...
Yeah, right.
You're not hearing. This client's upset, and I want to make sure that they feel confident. You know, they calm down. I try to explain to clients, you're paying me to do a job. Your job is to go and follow your doctor's orders. Get better. Take care of yourself. if you have questions, I'll take my time. I'll answer them. I'll explain to you what's going on. So many times over the years, especially working in a practice where there's multiple attorneys, the frustrated clients I hear are usually the ones that said, gee, no one ever explained that to me before. Thank you so much for taking 15 minutes and explaining why this is what's going on.
Well, you both have a similar kind of laid back, you know, but strong demeanor, which is important because, you know, you have caseloads that you're dealing with on a daily basis. You don't know when the clients are going to call. And at the same time, having that, you know, that ability to be able to make people feel okay when they call, you've been doing it. You know what I mean?
To me, it's a gift. I'm grateful for
it. I believe it. I've talked to an attorney one time. I was calling somebody from an injured workers our injured workers program. The woman retained this guy a year prior. She hadn't talked to him, but she was re-injured, same injury. And so she said, well, do me a favor, call him, let him know that I called the program. And I said, okay, I wanted to do that. He was leaving town, man. He sounded like some dude that was at the end of his rope. And so my point is, maybe he knew the law incredibly well. Maybe he's unbelievable, but having that gift of being a people person, you know what I mean? And being able to calm somebody down and you be able to deal with the caseload and everybody, because you become more than just a legal counselor. You become a personal counselor at times, right?
Absolutely. And I really like that term, counselor.
Right.
Because that's what I perceive my role to be. I counsel somebody. You know, I explain what's going on. I tell them what their choices are. I'll give them a recommendation. If they want to say, you decide, Diane, that's fine. But again, like you said, there's demands and you have other clients. So if you're getting ready for a trial or an arbitration tomorrow and you have a client ready to jump off the ledge because they're upset about something you know is not urgent, I find, again, communication. Hey, you know, when it's your turn, my focus is going to be on you. Like, trust me, give me a day or two, I'll get back to you. Calm down, it's okay. But right now I need to focus on something else.
Yeah, and I tell you, just being, you know, honest and cordial in the process, you can take somebody off the ledge, you know, just walk them off and just...
It just takes a minute. It really does, just to give them that time and to reassure them. It makes a world of difference. It really does.
No question about it. I mean, you know, and I think, you know, I've had people call the Injured Workers Program, and I would say, you call me one more time, I'm going to find you. I'm going to actually throw you off. I'm just kidding. It's not going to go well for you. No, I think it's a big part of, you know, the process. And I just, you know, when you're successful and you've been in business and going into business, we've talked about it, Paula, many times. I've talked to one person in particular who said to me, he was with a big firm, he left to start his own firm. Before he got to the door, he panicked and turned around and realized he has rent to pay, he's got to do all these things, and went back to the firm. It's a big step going out on your own, right?
It's huge. I had the exact experience with the opposite decision this past weekend. I had a firm I had interviewed with years ago reach out, offered me a very nice, safe position. It was actually on the dark side, but you know, benefits paid, retirement paid, rent paid, and it was very tempting. And I had to take the weekend, and I sat back and said, that's not why I'm doing this. I don't want to jump back into the environment of going at somebody else's pace.
Yeah,
I did this because I want to control my practice and how I practice law and do what I think is right for clients.
You have to give Paul that number. We're just kidding. We're just but Paul, you did the same thing. Like, in other words, you made a decision. This is a hard decision. It's who you are. Mm-hmm. And I really admire that. I mean, I you know, going out there when you have safe positions and you likely could, you know, go back anytime you want, you're successful doing what you're doing. And it's about the heart and about who you are, right?
Yes. Yeah, it is. And I don't miss that billing on the dark side.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's I learned a lot yesterday in the process. We've had being a woman in this field that is, you know, often it's predominantly a male-driven field, and we've talked about it as you know, plenty of times. Talk about, you know, some of the hurdles you had to overcome to blaze your own trail in this process, because I've heard, I can't tell you how many times, and I, Paul, you may have said it to me, but are you the stenographer, stuff like that, and, you know.
Yeah, I got that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just crazy. Talk about...
Absolutely. I can remember 10 or 15 years ago spending client-paid consultation fee at a firm I was at a few years ago. It was an insurance dispute. He had a fire at his farm, and it was an arson dispute. And I sat there and spoke to him for about an hour and 15 minutes about, you know, what the challenges were, the interpretation of the contract. And we get all done, and he says, so when am I going to talk to the lawyer? And I wanted to jump out of my skin. Like,
you know what you should have done?
Like, who did he think you were?
Well, that's literally what I asked him.
You should have said, the lawyer will be right in, got out, walked outside the door, reopened it, and said, hi, I'm a lawyer. I mean, that's crazy. You know, I've heard, you know, similar stories. And I'm assuming, you know, well, what was your answer?
Who do you think I am? I'm your lawyer.
You sit there, you know, there are, you know, we progressed since the 1860s there, buddy. You know, like, we're lawyers now. I'm just saying, like, it's, I mean, what kind of caveman are we talking about here?
Well, my personal favorite was when I first started practicing, I worked in Pittsburgh. And at that point, I was doing some, like, criminal defense work. And we went before a magistrate, and the magistrate, I was standing right by my client, who was like over 6 feet tall. And the magistrate said, you know, you can have a lawyer here. And he looked at him, and I said, I am his lawyer. And he said, oh, I thought you were his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I mean, you got, how long ago was this?
Oh, God, that was like 34 years
ago. Okay.
A long, well, long time ago.
Okay. I can't say I know how you feel, but pretty obvious how you would feel the insult during conversations like that. Talk about the motivating factor after something like that. In other words, okay, you're going to find out exactly who I am. We just took a deposition or whatever, but when, you know, it's got to motivate you to, how does it make you feel?
Honestly.
Or you just feel like that guy's an idiot and what's just,
well,
besides
that's always the feeling. Yeah. But it's like, I don't care what you perceive me as. I'm a good lawyer. I know the law. And I'm going to spin circles around you based on my knowledge. Like, it doesn't matter what I look like, what gender I am, what age I am. I'm going to spin circles around you.
And honestly, it reflects on that person.
It does.
In other words, if somebody's willing to say something like that, I was doing a show, and my client was a woman, a strong, powerful woman, and a business owner and leader. She was my co-host on the show, and we were in. Look, I was an iron worker, a union iron worker. You can look at the skyline down there, and that's what I did. Okay, before I went into business, so there's. You would think that we were cavemen, right? No. We're in this law office. We're doing this pre-recorded show. And, you know, my client, who's a good friend also, but these were her clients. She invited them on her show. And he was like, this was only about a year ago. And he was saying really stupid things. He's a lawyer, right? And I couldn't say anything to him. But I was thinking to myself, I'm about to lose it on this guy. Like, in other words, you know, sexual intonations and stuff like that. And I was just, and I felt bad for her. And I said to her after the show, if it wasn't that was your client right there, you know, I might have jumped over the table. And he just thought it was funny. He didn't know he was saying or anything, you know. And he's pretty reputable, not a big firm or anything like that, but... it's just insulting when people are, you know, even in embarrassing to other men and who know better, when those things happen. So I would say that's a reflection on somebody else for saying something stupid like that. I, you know, being women firm owners is, you know, in role models. Did you have any role models, Diane, when and you know, that maybe helped you follow the path?
Way back to when I was at Cigna, and I was fresh out of college when I started Cigna. I went to law school at night, put myself through Temple in the evening.
Awesome.
Cigna paid reimbursed and tuition reimbursement, but I was young to be in the corporate environment, getting into a management role, and my direct supervisor was an extremely strong, outspoken, very uncharacteristic, for the times, woman in terms of men did not challenge her. They really...
You're talking about my wife.
And I can remember conversations with her like, this is, you know, you're going to do this, you're going to stand up, you don't take that. And she really taught me a lot professionally in terms of, you know, it's time to forget about anything that you were taught growing up in terms of your place as a woman and, you know, second class citizen. And no, you have a seat at a table and you take that seat and you own that seat. So
and there are no limits. I mean, in other words, you know, it's. But I've heard the old boys network plenty of times in conversations, and you know, still. But when you go into a courtroom now and you see, especially in a personal injury case, you know, the other side has their, you know, all, you know, four or five, you know, Ivy League guys sitting there, and it's you, and it's got to give you a little bit of a, you know, like, okay, it's go time. I'm gonna, you know. You know, you want to underestimate me, the bell rings. Is that a great feeling?
It is. And you hit the nail right on the head in terms of it's motivating. It's you don't sit there and rest on the fact of, you know, people have this perception based on, again, looking at you from the outside. No, it's okay. You're going to be taught a lesson. You're going to see what a woman, you know, is made of. And if you have that perception, or anyone in this courtroom has a perception, you're going to find out there's no place for that here.
Right. But, I love that. Paul, you have the same feeling? I know you're dealing with workers' comp, mm-hmm. and you're, you know, it's not typical, obviously it's not a, you know, a jury trial or anything like that, but you're still, you know, dealing with, you know, the other side. Does it motivate you?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of that movie. I think it's, you know, where the kid is a great chess player. And at the end, the other kid at the table's got like seven of his players left. And this kid's got two. And he reaches across the table and says, I'm going to offer you a draw, right? And the kid goes, are you crazy? I got, you know, five pieces left. You have two. And then he beats him. You should just do that one day when you got the four guys over there. You just walk on and go, listen, I'm going to offer you a draw now, just to see what they say. Listen, we're gonna go to break. We're going to pay some bills. We're going to have more from Taking Charge with Paul Robinson after the break.
Suffering a work injury can be a debilitating experience. Trying to navigate the workers' compensation system and process on your own can make it even worse. From the point of injury to the culmination of your claim and everything in between, certified workers' compensation attorney and specialist Paula Robinson will handle every facet of your workers' compensation matter to ensure that you get the representation and results you need in the face of a system that often treats injured workers like they don't matter. If you get injured on the job, call Workers' Compensation Attorney Paula Robinson of Robinson Law at 215-530-7166 or go to robinsonlawyer.com. That's Robinson, LWYR.com, and get the support, the representation, and results you need to get back on your feet again.
Battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept. Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training event.
Promises to one's community.
Healthy people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine, you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I joined the Navy to serve my country as a Navy SEAL. While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. I broke my neck. It left me paralyzed. Paralyzed Veterans of America was by my side from that moment on.
Since 1946, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to our wounded veterans. We will never leave a fallen comrade behind.
Thanks to PVA, paralyzed veterans are getting specialized medical care and treatments. The benefits they've earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need.
I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
To learn more, go to PVA.org today.
ADHD. It's the child who can't pay attention or sit still in school, right? The answer, maybe yes. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD, can be complicated and it can last a lifetime. Living with a condition can sometimes be a challenge. It may take years to accept a formal diagnosis, and it's not always easy to find the right treatment plan. Did you know that up to 75% of children and adolescents with ADHD have at least one additional mental health condition that also requires a comprehensive approach to treatment? ADHD guidelines were recently updated to reflect the need to screen for associated disorders. Be sure to talk with your child's doctor about proper screening and visit moretoadhd.com for additional information. That's moretoadhd.com. This message has been brought to you in partnership with ADA, ACO, and CHAD.
Are you in need of primary care services where you feel like family? Do you want to go to a place with a caring and passionate staff that cares about you and wants to make sure that you receive all of your services not only in one place, but you holistically become better? Let me suggest Dedicated Senior Medical Center. Hi, this is Bishop Mary, and I need you to get to one of the five locations throughout the city of Philadelphia. North Philly, West Philly, South Philly, Mayfair, and Allegheny. They will be happy to receive you. Now, to qualify, you must be 55 and older and have the Medicare Advantage plan. And if you don't, they have somebody there. They'll be able to help you get on board. So try Dedicated Senior Medical Center at a location near you today. And know that when you call the Dedicated Difference, you won't be disappointed.
I will hug my mom.
I can't wait to embrace my brothers and sisters from choir.
We ask people what they would do when they get back to their loved ones.
I'll do a big barbecue and squeeze every face in my family. My brother, he better be ready for that bear hug, too.
I need to hug my girls.
Millions of people are getting vaccinated. It's our chance to get back to what we miss so much safely. And for people at higher risk of COVID-19 complications because of diabetes, high blood pressure, and heart conditions, or if you're a heart attack or stroke survivor, the COVID-19 vaccine is an important choice. With every vaccine, we are closer to a future free of COVID-19. The vaccines are safe, effective, and the right response. Getting back to life. Set your heart on it. It's up to you. For more information, go to heart.org/vaccine. A message from the American Heart Association.
Here's an important message for all first responders, tow truck operators, and anyone.
That was smooth. All right.
Wasn't that important?
Right. We just cut right out of that one. I want to welcome everybody back to Taking Charge of Paul Robinson. Diane Sedano of the Law Offices of Diane Sedano is our guest personal injury attorney and firm. And, of course, Paul Robinson, workers' compensation attorney, our host. And we're going to get into, you know, cases where the two of us would work together. Two powerful women representing individuals in the highest standard, which is awesome. But before we do, let's get into the auto insurance and the auto accident type situation. Somebody gets in an accident, somebody hits them. What are the first things that somebody should do when they get, besides the obvious of call, you know, Diane Sedano, which is number one. Before they end up calling you, what are the first things they should do at the scene of the accident?
Obviously, make sure everyone's okay. Themselves, do a self-assessment before, you know, they get out and start moving and realizing they're going to re-injure or injure themselves even worse than they are, their occupants. Calling for emergency response, especially if there are injuries, get medical there, but also the police officers. A lot of times stories change so quickly. Unfortunately, the at-fault driver, you know, will be at the scene admitting, I'm sorry, I did this. And then when he talks to his insurance company, he gets a little scared. Story may change a little bit.
Yeah, right.
So you do want somebody else there to kind of hear what's going on. Philadelphia, obviously, police have so much going on in Philadelphia.
It's a catastrophic injury, they don't, and seemingly catastrophic accident, they won't come.
Absolutely. Huge is, you may not think about it right away, but if you take pictures, the other driver shows you the driver's license, take a picture of the driver's license, take a picture of the insurance card, maybe discreetly back up a little bit, get a picture of their face so you can tell, yeah, it really is their driver's license, picture of their license plate. So many times, especially in accidents in Philadelphia, people are insured, they have stolen tags, you know, they're using somebody else's ID, and it gets really messy after the fact when you're trying to present an insurance claim. Second, once the scene has been cleared, or talk to the emergency personnel, don't minimize what you're feeling. You may not feel things right away. Don't be too quick to say, yeah, I'm fine. I'm okay now, or I'm not sure, I'm shaken up.
Because a lot of people get that, you know, they feel, they are in shock, and then, you know, I mean, next thing you know, too, might happen to my wife, so when we were kids, she's got a scar right here to prove it. So she was fine at the scene of the accident. A week later, it's just something to be conscious about, no question, because you will hear that. I feel fine at your deposit, you know, at the court, you know, if you ever go to trial 2 years later.
Absolutely. The other thing is you hear a lot is the adrenaline. People, you know, it's not just shock, but, you know, it's the flight or fight response. So you're not really feeling things. And then from a medical standpoint, a lot of inflammation doesn't start to hurt until, you know, you break, literally, regardless situation, you turn your ankle, it doesn't always swell up immediately. It's like when you go to bed that night, all of a sudden, then it puffs up.
Yeah.
So it takes a little while for things to set in.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same with work injuries. A lot of times somebody will, you know, might fall, or I mean, as, you know, a couple feet or, you know, and bend over and they twinge it, but they don't really... And they don't realize it, you know, for a couple of days or at least till Monday.
Yeah.
Does that happen a lot?
Yes, it does.
And it's either way, the insurance companies are unforgiving. You don't get the, like we've said in the past, the trophy on Monday. Yo, we're not having a big ceremony because you sucked it up over the weekend to help the company and the company. That's why you're doing it. You want to give them the benefit of the doubt. You wake up Monday, you can't stand up straight. You make that call and say, now I'm hurt, I got hurt on Friday. They'll use that against you.
Oh, yeah. I just retained another client and same problem. You know, his employer was fighting him about filing it with the work comp carrier. And then they called him in a meeting and they said, we're going to terminate you because you didn't give notice the day of. But that's not the law. You have 120 days to give notice from the date that you know of your injury. And the employer said, I don't care about the law. You're fired. So now he has no personal insurance because he had insurance through them. He has no job. The adjuster's jerking him around. It's
and if there's an employee handbook, I mean, that when you get to court, that's not going to impact anything. Like, you know, obviously their employee handbook or whatever their policies are don't override the law, but they can fire somebody, yes. You know, if that's their policy.
Yes.
That's a discreet. But yep. Wait a second. On the other hand, you can't fire somebody because they got hurt.
Well, you're not supposed to retaliate, but, you know, I refer people to employment law attorneys to see if they're, you know, if they have a case against the employer for wrongful termination.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, here's the deal. If you actually tell us, we're going to harass you. If you don't tell us, you're fired, you know.
I know.
I mean, you know, and you got, I've had guys call us and say, listen, I got injured on the job. I don't want to, I want to say it happened at home. I'm like, listen, I would not advise lying about anything. And by the way, what happens if you're really injured seriously? And, you know, what about your wages? So, I mean, that's never a good policy, you know, but the point, you know, to lie, but it is a difficult situation, especially in PA where it's a right to, you know, the at will state. Auto insurance is a big part of, you know, when, you know, the situation when somebody gets in an accident. You know, it's not how great your lawyer is. If you don't have insurance or if you don't have the right amount of insurance and don't understand, you know, it's a problem.
Absolutely. And the worst time to find out that you don't have the right insurance is after the accident happens, obviously. You want to be as educated as you can about what you're buying when you buy it. You want an agent just like you want an attorney that's willing to take the time and explain things to you and not just, no, just sign this dotted line. I'll save you money.
What you just said there is a mouthful. You want an agent that wants to do, you could probably spend 40 years looking for that agent that's going to actually tell, you know what I mean? That's why you're telling people, you know, like what to look out for. And now people do it online themselves, right? I mean, it's crazy.
It's scary. In the middle of the night, you know, without the benefit of talking to anybody.
Yeah.
But even so many insurance agents, and I'm not denigrating agents at all. I, you know, respect a lot of agents, but there are agents out there that either they're misheard or they're miscommunicate or they themselves is misunderstanding. And I've had people tell me who have limited tour. Well, my agent told me if the accident wasn't my fault, I'm okay, I can still recover. And it's like, well, if it was your fault, you wouldn't be able to recover regardless of what kind of insurance you had. Like, no, it's wrong. If you have limited tort, you have limited tort. Like,
yeah, and people think of full coverage. I think it's a mythical term. It doesn't really, but what if you were to actually talk about what full coverage is, it covers the automobile, the dents on the car. That's really, I mean, people, how many times have people walked in and said, I got full coverage, we're gold?
All the time. Firm that I just left when I went into my own business really heavily marketed people who were injured who had limited tort. And I can't tell you. So we'd get a lot of calls from these people, and they'd insist, I have full coverage. And your point is exactly right. People think full coverage. They're told full coverage. Their agent will say, you're fully covered. They mean the car.
Yeah.
That's not the person in the car.
Bodily harm. You know, injury. I mean, if somebody's hurt, your family member's hurt, you know, the kids are in the car, they could be left with, you know, no bodily harm, you know, and pain and suffering, so that you may be able to get, because you have personal insurance, health insurance, you may be able to get, you know, your hospital bills paid. But if you can't work again, if there's anything serious happened, you're up the creek.
You certainly are. And what Paula just mentioned about, you're hurt, you may have health insurance through your employer, but if you're hurt and you can't work, all right, once that little bit of auto insurance that provides medical is done and you lose your job, you have no health insurance. You can't treat. You can't get better. I mean, you're really stuck.
And we see these commercials, and they're just talking about the rates. They don't educate people on these issues. Why not?
Because they know where they make the money is they collect more premiums than they pay out. And full tort, they pay out more because full tort claims are worth more than limited tort. You really give up a lot of a benefit when you select limited tort.
I mean, so how about, Paul, I got an idea for our next show. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll have Diane on, we'll have Aaron Rodgers, we'll have Shaquille O'Neal, We'll have a lot of these guys that are doing these, okay? And what people don't realize is the big money, what's going to cost me and you the most in appearance fees is Diane. They have no idea what we're paying.
That's right.
But having said, but really, I wonder if those guys and, you know, really understand those things about educating, you know, the listener on the, what they should, or the interviewer on what type of insurance they actually have, and
they probably don't care,
or the real issues, you know, the about full tort, limited tort, PIP, you know, what you called uninsured, underinsured motorists. I mean, you know, what should somebody have when they're making the decision, in your opinion, to fully comprehensively protect not only their body of their car, but the people in it, should it be a serious accident?
My insurance agent years ago used to call me the insurance lady because I wanted everything. I wanted as much as I could afford, as much coverage as I could get, the Cadillac of coverage.
Right.
Unfortunately, not everyone can do that. But what I really recommend with clients is, again, sit down with your agent or sit down and on the internet and look and compare. If I pick this option for my medical benefit, what's the premium? If I up it from the $5,000 minimal to $10,000, how much more am I talking? So make an informed decision, just like you would buy, you know, I don't know, a box of cereal on the shelf. Like, okay, the cereal is so much per ounce and this one's another amount per ounce. You need to understand and compare what you're getting for your money.
And what is underinsured and uninsured motorist do?
I thought you were going to ask me what is it. I was going to say extremely important.
Right.
Uninsured, they're very similar. Uninsured motorist protects you when you are hurt in an accident that is somebody else's fault, and that person is either driving illegally or it's a hit-and-run accident. So there's no other coverage for you to collect. Again, it's when the other driver's at fault, not when you're at fault. Philadelphia cases, I joke with my kids when I'm driving in Philadelphia, my biggest concern is not getting an accident because I'm going to get hurt. It's because I'm going to get in an accident. The other person's not going to have insurance and I'm going to pay the deductible myself.
Because it's such a high rate of individuals driving without insurance.
Absolutely. So uninsured motorist says if you are injured in an accident that was somebody else's fault and there's no insurance on that side. So again, whether that person's driving illegally, they stole the car, they didn't have the permission to drive the car they're driving, or it's a hit and run, and that happens so often everywhere, but especially in Philadelphia, you have the opportunity to buy a benefit before the accident. You can't buy it after the accident happens, but you have the opportunity to insure yourself and make sure that you are protected. Underinsured motorists, very similar. The only difference is the other driver does have insurance, but they don't have enough insurance to cover you for your injuries. Pennsylvania, as you mentioned, or I know you've spoken about on the show before, is only $15,000. That's all you need to cover. $15,000 isn't anything. It's like the most minimal whiplash case if you have, you know, full tort coverage. Anything more than that, they're going to be underinsured. So.
It's absolutely ridiculous. In your work injury world, Paula, how often, so it's work, the employer is obviously supposed to have workers' compensation insurance. How often, you know, do they not have it? And is it possible for an employer to underinsure themselves or, you know, do something like, you know, on a parallel where, you know, they really don't have the insurance to cover the workers.
Well, I found that most employers do comply with the law and they do have coverage. So they're rated.
Paul, the right answer to that is, that's a great question, Joe. It happens all the time. No, I'm sorry.
Thank God it doesn't happen all the time.
Right. No, you're right.
Well, so when employers go to their agents to get workers' comp insurance, they're rated based on the type of work that they do.
Yeah.
So obviously, if it's construction, they're going to be paying a much higher premium than like an office employer.
Oh, so I was an iron worker working on high-rise buildings. You see the guys walking on the beams? Well, back then, we didn't have to tie off. So now when you see them walking off, there's a tag, there's a line, like a static line, and you're tied to them. We didn't have to do that. So
Though
I look young, I'm not. So yeah, it's true. Look, we only have, you know, how much time do we have left, TJ? 5 minutes. So I need you to explain third-party accident cases in 5 minutes. I know there were cases where you guys would work together. When it's a work type of situation, somebody gets in an auto accident or something like that, but they're working or driving for a living, and that, you know, how's that go?
One, if you're driving for a living, there's two types of drivers that drive for a living. There's ones that are considered employees, and they're employer shirted workers' comp, and there are others that are gig workers.
Right.
So all the Uber, Lyfts, you know, GoPuff.
Were they trying to switch that?
Some states have. California has. I'm not sure which other ones have. Right now, Pennsylvania's not there yet.
So having said that, if somebody is working for a living, driving a car or an automobile, a truck or whatever, for a company, and they get hit, that is not only an accident. That is a work injury.
Absolutely. Whenever I have a client who's worked, injured in the course of their employment, the first thing I want to do is get them to a workers' comp attorney, an excellent workers' comp attorney like Paula. It is so important for a workers' comp attorney and a third-party liability attorney to work together on a case. Decisions that are made, options that are taken on one affect the other one. So workers' comp, what doctors that the client goes to see after the 90-day panel period. Decisions that are made if there's an independent medical exam on the workers' comp can really affect the third-party liability. Meanwhile, if I settle the third-party liability and the workers' comp's still out there, there may be an implication for the workers' comp case. So it's so critical for the two attorneys to work together.
And I'm assuming you get, you know, Paula, you know, cases, I mean, whether, you know, like in, whether they're driving while they're working or any type of situation where it's not only a work injury, but there's a negligence situation. Somebody else caused that from another company, where you would do the same, and you know, with Diane.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, people typically don't understand what they're doing when it even comes to work comp. How often does that happen?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
Woo! I would say it happens in about like 30% of my cases where there's a third-party action. And then, of course, I need to refer that to a personal injury attorney.
Yeah, and certainly educating people. It just, people try to be their own attorneys, as you well know, at first. And it's not until they actually got are so beat up that they realize. And it can be detrimental if you don't contact counsel. And by the way, it's a contingency fee agreement with both of these, right?
Yes.
No out-of-pocket costs?
No out-of-pocket costs.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal. You can get you can get consultation, and you know, it's confidential, right? I mean, you know, you know, there's not only nothing to lose, there's everything to gain. There's everything to lose if you don't have the right information. So having said that, let's do this. Let's if you would, Diane, contact information for yourself at the firm should somebody want to get in touch with you.
Absolutely. First, my last name is spelled S as in Sam, O as in Oliver, D as in Diane, A as in Adam, N as in Nancy, O as in Oliver. I know that's kind of an odd name to spell. It's Law Offices of Diane M. Sodano, .com on the web, and my office phone number is 215-804-1010.
Where's the office?
My office is in Quakertown. What COVID has definitely taught a lot of us is that it doesn't matter where your office is. Technology takes over so much in terms of video conferencing. The other thing is, my clients are injured. I don't want to make them move more than they need to. I am more than willing to meet a client at their home, at the hospital, you know, a coffee shop near their house. So, you know, I'll go where the person is.
Awesome. Fantastic. And, of course, our host, Paul, contact information for you.
My phone number is 215-530-7166. And my website is www.robinsonlwyr.com.
All right. I want to thank everybody for listening to Taking Charge with Paul Robinson. We want to thank attorney and Paula's guest, Diane Sodano of the Law Offices of Diane M. Sodano. On behalf of Paula and Diane and TJ in there, thanks for listening, everybody.
Please join us Mondays and Saturdays at 2 on WWDB for Investors Schooling Live with real estate and stock options trading professionals Phil Falcone and Larry Steinhaus. This is the show and the school you've been waiting for. Listen to the radio show on WWDB Mondays and Saturdays at 2 p.m. or register for one of our free Thursday night classes at investorschooling.com. Go register at investorschooling.com right now.
Looking for some good news and solid ground?